bright light. Said he gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living, the devil may care. And I'm just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a nerve of steel. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-armed bandits crashing. All those hopes down the drain. Viva Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time. I'm gonna give it everything I've got. Lady luck, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot a seven with every shot. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva!
Hello, hello there. My name is Murray. I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are The Real Guys. This is Siren Radio, and this is The Real Show with two E's. The music you just heard was Viva Las Vegas by Elvis Presley from 1964. What was that year like, Corey?
Rocking and rolling, that's what.
Was it? Yeah. From the film of the same name, Viva Las Vegas. So today, we've got a packed show for you because every broadcast is special to us. It's a very special day. We are your number one platform on the airwaves and YouTube for pop culture, film and television discussion. As always, I'm accompanied by my co-host, Corey. How are you doing today, Corey?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good, thank you. I'm glad you like that little intro, because we were just discussing something. An incredibly awful joke, which is that we do put the C in cinema. I was gonna add that in, but I thought it's...
We have good jokes here.
Yeah, only the best jokes here.
Only the best comments.
We are at Instagram on The Real Show FM and on Twitter at The Real Show FM. You can, you know, find us. I tweet a lot, like, about everything, about film, TV, wrestling, every sort of prospect that we cover here at The Real Show, I do tweet about regularly. We're also on Google, Apple, and Spotify, and Amazon, and anywhere you get your podcasts. We're there now, so yeah. You can listen to us still. We're pretty good, I think.
I mean,
we clearly have this down, Corey. But yes. Today, what are we going to be looking at and reviewing for the people, for the eager listeners?
We're reviewing Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead.
Yes, it's probably one of our most recent reviews. Came out quite recently, I think only more so or less than a month away.
I believe so.
Yes. May 14th, 2021, it came out and released digitally on Netflix May 21st as a Netflix exclusive. So, but I want to hit you with a bit of trivia to start off with, if I can.
Oh, we're starting off with a fact.
Yes, Zack Snyder initially conceived this idea for Army of the Dead as a spiritual successor to his 2004 debut film Dawn of the Dead, which was a reboot of the classic film Dawn of the Dead.
Okay, so, right, okay.
Yeah, the project was originally from Warner Bros. And was held in development hell from 2007 and 2004. It was supposed to go out 2019. They got acquired distribution rights for it. There was a $90 million budget. Snyder was doing cinematography and everything, and it was supposed to sort of go out from 2017, 2016. It was getting pushed back and pushed forward and stuff, It was supposed to have a fall 2013 release date. 2012, someone was assigned to direct it. I don't want to butcher this name, but I'll try. Mathis Van Heigenen Jr.
Nice.
Was, hopefully that sounds okay, was scheduled to direct for 2011, but then it went into a period of dormancy. It was pushed back and pushed forward, and it was a whole mess. It was a bloody mess, and it was put on hold until 2018. Production with Zack Snyder finally began again in 2019, and they did some reshoots in September 2020, and then they finally brought it back, and now it's out now.
Nice. I mean, I guess the question is, was it worth the wait?
Was it worth all of that? Well, we have your answer, but let's not get to it. Let's not get to it just yet, shall we?
I mean, where would you like to start? Is there anything you'd like to...
Well, let's go through the characters first, shall we?
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think we're the biggest. They're the biggest driving force of the film, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's got a decent cast. One man stands out.
One man does stand out. Do you want to talk about that man first?
Well, actually, that man only stands out if he's moving. If he's standing still, you can't see him.
No, you can't see him because he's so imperceptible. He's moving so still, he's imperceptible to the human eye.
Exactly.
You can only see him when he's moving. And that man is the animal, Dave Bautista.
Dave Bautista.
The good old animal, Dave Bautista, Bautista Bomb. He is... he's in this film, and he's like the shining light. He's the one guy. I was like, yeah, I want to watch him, you know, because he's trying to be a bit of a serious actor man nowadays.
He is. I mean, obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy is when most people would have seen him. Spectre as well.
Yeah, Spectre, exactly. He actually turned down an offer to appear in the Suicide Squad, James Gunn's new Suicide Squad film, to appear in this. So he must have seen something that was worth it. I even heard a rumour back when the Suicide Squad was sort of scheduled to begin production that Bautista was involved, and then this comes out, and apparently I've heard that he was not interested in the Suicide Squad and turned to Zack Snyder to do this film. Well,
imagine Bautista and John Cena in the same movie.
Oh, well, that'd be... I think the universe would crumble. they can't even you know, get along in the same wrestling ring as opposed to the same film. So... Yes, Bautista carries this film. Bautista's back hurts from carrying this film so much. He should go to the hospital. He should go to a local medical facility.
He should, yeah.
Because his back hurts so much from carrying the weight of this film on it. We've got an ensemble cast. People like Ella Purnell and Theo Rossi. And everyone joins up. There's a huge cast of people in this film. It's to say that Bautista turned down the Suicide Squad. This film is pretty much like the Suicide Squad.
It is. That's one of the things I remember when this first came out, was everyone essentially just going that Zack Snyder has made his own Suicide Squad.
Yeah, exactly. Zack Snyder comes off the back of the Snyder Cut, Justice League Snyder Cut, right?
Yeah.
Which you haven't seen, but I have.
I haven't. I've not even seen the normal Justice League.
Oh, fair enough. Not the 2017 Justice League.
No, I heard it was bad, so I ignored it.
Fair enough. I've seen both. I saw the 4-hour cut, Zack Snyder's Justice League, and I thought it was definitely an improvement on the 2017 film, very much so. But I think Zack Snyder came off the back of that and was like, right, that's a massive project I've put, you know, years of my life into. Let's do something a bit more fun and a bit more less stakes, I suppose. And this is definitely it. I've also got something that states here that this is his sort of first. It's not connected to an IP. It's not a superhero film. It's not a reboot of anything. It's his first non-superhero original non-IP production in a decade. The last one he made was Sucker Punch. So in 2011. So that's
okay.
That for you.
Okay.
But let's get into a bit of the plot, why don't we? We have the team of it's an ensemble team. It's like an ensemble team. You got a team. You got the Bautista, who's the big military man. He saved the Secretary of Defense when Las Vegas was attacked by a horde of zombies.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the many zombie films that have been coming out.
Yes, many zombie films. But this film tries to do a lot of things.
It does.
the first thing it does is it has the military sort of out. There's like a military convoy, and there's outbreak, and the big zombie escapes. The king zombie escapes. He's been transported by the military. He gets to Las Vegas and causes havoc on the streets.
Mm.
There's panic on the streets of Las Vegas, and people are running and dying and being killed by zombies. And then the military just comes in, wipes out the old place, puts up a massive fence for these shipping crates, miles high, and then Dave Bautista, we find him working in a burger joint. He's down on his luck. But this guy comes to him, this media tech mogul, this tech billionaire, arrives and says, I've got a job for you, Dave Bautista. You could have to put together this team and go back into the zombie infested Las Vegas and get me all this money in my casino.
Yes, they plan on doing the greatest heist, essentially.
Yeah, a big heist in Las Vegas, in zombie infested Las Vegas.
Yes.
I feel like it's run with the casino theme. Zack Snyder went on the heist movie casino board. He went on the casino slots. Right, I want a heist movie. Dave Bautista, zombies, Las Vegas. Cool, make it. You know, it's like he went through the rolling tropes of heist films.
What, it's like throwing it at a dartboard or something?
Yeah, yeah. What am I going to hit? I'm going to hit zombies, okay. Las Vegas and big match Dave. And then you got to go for it. And this is what we have now.
It's a film.
Is that the best compliment you can give it, Corey?
It's
it is definitely a bit. You know what? No doubts there, Corey. No doubts there. That is a fact. It is in fact a film.
Yeah, put that in the box. It's a film.
Yeah, but is it? Put that on the DVD cover. Army of the Dead is a film.
It's a film.
Correct, but is it a good film?
Well,
yes. Well, let's go into the first couple of things. I feel like tonally, it gave me a bit of. There's a bit of tonal whiplash I found in this.
Hmm. And not the good kind of whiplash.
No, not the good kind of whiplash. A bit of tonal whiplash. Because the first thing that caught me was, I initially thought I was watching the end of the film.
Yes.
Not the start.
Yes.
It starts off with, right, pretty basic. You know, the military convoy is under attack by a giant zombie flees into Las Vegas. Then we get almost like a flash forward, and we get loads of the characters fighting like on the streets and in the city, and like they're manning giant Gatling guns, and Dave Bautista's headshotting zombies with a handgun kind of thing. And now I'm thinking, hold on, am I watching a flash forward to the end of the film? Am I watching? Apparently, no, that was all before.
Yeah, it's this weird, like, almost like Tarantino-y thing. Like Pulp Fiction, where it's in the film. But like, in Pulp Fiction, it feels like the start of the film. Okay, they're in a cafe, cool. And then it ends up being like midway, end of the film.
I felt like the start of the film, I felt like the end of the film. Like, I want to watch that movie, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't watch this movie,
I thought it'd be like, right, we'll get to this at some point. This is like a thing where at some point, we'll get to this part of the film and it'll continue on from here. But no, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I want to watch that film. I want to watch that film about Dave Bautista defeating an entire army of zombies, not Dave Bautista running from a zombie about every 10 minutes,
It feels like they wanted to put that in to go, look at him. He's this big man. He can take out all these zombies. And then,
look at this cool crew and all this great, impressive CGI action and the giant, you know, the giant Eiffel Tower in Vegas collapsing on zombie Elvis, that kind of thing. That's what you want to see at the start of the film. But then it takes you to just drudgery scene of people talking and this guy Tanaka and his 200 million casino vault in Vegas. And of course, it's not the only the tone of this film isn't the only thing that sort of raised people's ire.
Yes,
There's a big controversy in the film that the president is going to launch a tactical nuclear strike on the city on the 4th of July and destroy Las Vegas and blow up all the zombies with a nuke. Mm-hmm.
I get 4th of July is Independence Day. However, it doesn't have to be the day in every single film.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah, a lot of things do happen in films on 4th of July, I suppose.
Anytime it's like an apocalypse or something, it's always on Independence Day.
Yeah, I suppose. And Now we get to the sort of we carry on with the film, and we get this guy. He's got a $200 million sort of prize stash in his casino, and it's up to Dave Bautista to put together the team and head in there. He's got his helicopter pilot. He's got some cool military dudes. He's got the sort of casinos. This casino safe cracker, he can crack any safe. His daughter is also along for the ride, because she works at the local refuge center outside Las Vegas, where they help people who've been infected with the zombie virus.
I mean, it's a ragtag of people.
Yeah, ragtag team. That's what you need, a ragtag team, where they're all disposable.
By the way, as well, that one guy who doesn't go into Vegas, smart move.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that one guy. Yeah, and you know what? I think that one guy made it out the best.
Yeah.
Out of everybody, that one guy just quits about 20 minutes into the film.
Again.
The guy goes, you know what? I'm not going to do this, and walks off. The guy, like the YouTuber, you know.
Another kind of comparison to Suicide Squad. At least he doesn't end up like, believe, Slipknot and just die.
Yeah, no, he's ended up like Slipknot, his head blown off. Or his neck snapped, or...
Whatever happened, I can't remember.
Ordered by zombies, or, you know, blown off, or however, you know, people, or eaten by a zombie tiger, anything like that. But the action in this film, the one thing I've got to praise the film for is it has that inventive, some very comic book style action.
Yes.
Where you get a trick shot and you kill three zombies with one bullet, and you do an awesome spin, and you're running over casino tables and gunning down zombies, and you're manning the giant Gatling gun and that kind of thing. Very, very comic booky action. Very senseless, but still the effects and the amount of, you know, zombies, and the body count is probably pretty high in terms of zombies.
I would imagine it'd be pretty high, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, also, what was your thought? Because, like, again, when this came out, I remember seeing this on Facebook all the time, and especially kind of after Justice League, Justice League came out. What was your thoughts on the runtime?
Looks like 2 hours 30. Oh, it's too long.
I heard a lot of complaints about the runtime.
Far too long. I think he tried something, it didn't work, which is sort of the antithesis of Zack Snyder, in my opinion.
Yes.
But I think he tried to make it, you know, very long and very epic, but it's style of a substance, isn't it?
Yeah, because I heard a lot of people going, oh, we were going to watch it, but it's 2.5 hours long, and everyone expects a zombie movie to be an hour and a half or an hour long or something.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Zombie movies aren't normally this long.
But when I was like, okay, well, maybe he's done something and you've got like a massive deep story in there, and that's why it's 2.5 hours long. To be fair, no, after watching it, it doesn't need to be 2.5 hours long.
No, it does not. You could have shaved off half an hour of this film, and at least... and made it 2 hours, or you could have shaved, I don't know, 40, 50 minutes off it and made it sort of an hour 45.
Yeah.
And then I would have been happy. But no, I think the runtime of the movie really affects its drag on you. It drags often.
It's always great when you hear a film drags. That's how I know it's...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's really a rave review. But, and there's points, it's style over substance, because there's points in this film that are never explained or don't even make any sense. Mm. It's like, oh, the zombie tiger, oh, that's cool. Is it, like, controlled by the king of the zombies? Is it, like, its own sort of entity? How does it interact with sort of the more human zombies? We never find out.
Nope.
These alphas, how did they come to be? They're sort of really fast, powerful zombies. Oh, they're, like, super zombies. They've got, like, glowing blue eyes. Oh, that's really cool. How did they get that power? We never find out. The queen of the zombies, oh, what's she like? Has she got some sort of supernatural ability? Oh, she's got, like, a zombie baby. Is this, like, the first natural zombie baby? How did that come to be? We never find out. It's loads of questions like that that Zack Snyder likes to put in his film to create, I don't know, mystery or a form of mystique, perhaps, and we never find out about it. It's pointless. It's pointless style and flashy looks and interesting concepts with no explanation, no depth of any kind. And I'm just sat there. I'm sat there thinking, God, please, just do something. Explain something. I wouldn't mind if we had, you know, perhaps a little bit of subtext, perhaps a little bit of even exposition I was willing to take. But no, we just don't get anything behind these really cool concepts that should have been defined a bit more than just seeing them. So,
I mean, it's... There were a couple of occasions in this film where I remember something getting mentioned, and then, like, later on, when it should have been brought back up, it just doesn't get brought back up.
Why do the zombies need a sacrifice, perhaps? Why do they shoot that guy? Why does short-haired blonde woman shoot that guy, leave him, and they say, oh, we require a... She goes, we'll require a sacrifice. There must be sacrifice to the zombies. You know, and why? Why? But we never find that out.
Yeah. It's... I mean, apparently... Apparently there's going to be like a sequel to this or something, I think.
There'll be... No, there's a prequel and a sequel animated series.
Right, okay. So I guess maybe that would explain it, but I also hate when films do that, where they go, right, we're not going to explain it, but you can go watch a prequel and it will also fill in all the blanks. I hate that.
What are you looking forward to, Corey? Are you looking forward to the animated series and prequel film to Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead? Is that what people want, right?
The thing is, right, if you're going to do a prequel, fine, right? It can work. Star Wars did it, Lord of the Rings did it, but the standalone film that comes out first needs to be... You can't have it go, okay, we'll do a prequel to fill in all the blanks we missed in the original film. You can't do that. The original film needs to stand alone first.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, it feels like he's going to make a prequel to try and fix what he did in the first film and try and fill in gaps. And then I don't even want to think about the animated sequel thing. I'm just ignoring it.
Sure. I think they're going to do that sort of Netflix anime thing they do, like they did with Ghost in the Shell and they did with...
Yeah.
They did something else. I saw an ad, yesterday about some... it's like an anime adaptation of like a girl who communicates with goblins, but I don't know what that's called. But it's that sort of the sort of Netflix... I call it the Netflix anime style.
Yeah.
Where it's very... It's more westernized than classical Japanese animation. But
Lord of the Rings is actually doing it as well. It's not Netflix, I believe, but they're doing...
It's Amazon.
Yes, they're doing an Amazon animated, like, film thing.
Yeah, I think it's called War of the Rohirrim or something
it
like
is.
That.
You
it's
are
about
correct.
Rohan.
Yes, it's Helm's Deep and all that sort of stuff.
Helm's Deep, exactly. But with this, I mean, if we can take it back to the film and back to the...
Yeah, you can tell when it's a good film. We'll just keep talking about other stuff.
When we start talking about, yeah, exactly. I think that's the mark. I think on the real show, that is the mark of the fact we're disinterested with a film, we're uninterested with a film. The fact that we start talking about something else,
yes.
we go on to another topic which we sound a lot more invested in than the actual film we're talking about. But if I had to address specific criticisms, apart from just very general stuff,
yeah.
Again, what I've said before, Snyder's constant style of the substance is very clear here.
Yes.
Like, oh, we'll throw some in for sort of cheap meaning, but not like, right, the soundtrack in this film, okay? Use a lot of very popular songs. We've used two of them already.
Yeah.
Or we've mentioned two of them already. And one of the songs he uses, which I have a specific problem with, which I'm sure you'll agree with, Corey,
okay,
is the use of the Cranberries song Zombies.
Yes.
Now, yeah, sure, yeah, the zombies in the film and the song's called Zombies, right. But that's not what the song is actually about.
No, it's not.
Because for anyone who knows anything about a shred of Irish history, knows that Zombies is actually about the Troubles.
Yes.
Which was a horrendous period of time for both Northern and Southern Ireland. And I won't talk about it because I've not got a lot of knowledge on the subject, but I know what the song's about, and I'm not going to speak. I don't think I have, you know, the right to talk about anything like that. But I feel like using that song is, I don't want to say a bit offensive, but
yeah,
it's kind of like you're using it because it's got the word zombies in it, and it's got the word, you know, tanks and bombs and guns. But that isn't what the song's on. It means the fighting and the sort of the IRA and all of the horrendous acts. It's like they were zombies. It's not literal. It's not literal zombies. It's metaphorical zombies.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's if you want to do a song in a film that is about zombies, just do like Thriller or something.
Okay, I know this is going to get cut for the podcast edit, but this will be on the radio edit, right?
Yeah.
We've already played Viva Las Vegas by Elvis Presley, and we're going to play a Creedence Clearwater Revival song to end this episode.
Yes.
I propose to the editor that we could play the Cranberries song Zombies, and then I thought, you know what, no, we're not going to play it. If he has the song or not, we aren't going to play it, out of respect for the fact that we're out of respect for the way the song was written and with the intention the song was written, and also because of the fact I don't believe that it should have been used in this film.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's other options which would have been.
Yeah, exactly. Better. So yes, I did propose to use the song to the editor, but it won't be used out of respect of the intention by which the song was written and by the fact that I have a problem with it being used in this film. So there we go. Yeah, this is going to be cool. But people who listen to it on the radio, you got to hear that. So congratulations. But moving on, we have the casino action scene. They get into the casino, and this is where the bulk of the film takes place. One of the concepts in this film, I think someone mentioned it, I think it's like the tech nerd, safecracker nerd, is that the film could be a time loop, or have you heard of this concept in this film?
I think so, yeah.
They come across people wearing the exact same clothes as they do, skeletons wearing the same clothes
yes.
that they do, right? Bodies wearing the exact same clothes that they do, and someone mentions it, that this could be a time loop and they just only exist to go into this casino and die. And at the end of the film, we find out that one of the members who survives, one who gets away, is bit by a zombie and realizes he's going to turn. So, and then there's theories out there that say that he is actually the king zombie.
Right.
That last surviving member is actually the king zombie who gets captured by the military, and then the film starts over again.
Yeah, it's the safecracker who kind of starts off this whole time loop thing.
Yeah, and the last guy, Omari Hardwick, plays Vandero, who is the last surviving member. He gets trapped in the vault itself and survives in the nuke blast. He comes out with all the money, and then he rents a private plane to take him to Mexico, and on the flight he realises, oh no, I've been bitten by a zombie, I'm going to turn, kind of thing. So that's what happens. And the theory is that he becomes the king zombie, and then he gets captured by the military, and then the film starts over again, and that's what...
So you can watch it more than once.
It's a very loose theory. Like, what, do they suddenly rebuild and repopulate Las Vegas in the span of a couple of hours? Or, and there's, you know, we get clone Dave Bautista, and all of the clone team are sent back in again.
It either feels like either a bit of like a MacGuffin, where it's like, here's a thing, it doesn't mean anything, but it's there. Or it just feels like a way of going, we're going to put this thing in, so that it creates this time loop, so people can watch the end of the film and then restart the film again.
Or it feels like Zack Snyder trying to grasp at straws.
Or that, yeah.
And trying to create something that's meaningful and there's loads of depth. But in reality, it's just something stupid.
Well, yeah, all that, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the most that's probably the most logical conclusion. I think.
I mean, it'll be. I don't know. It didn't work for me anyway. If it is an actual thing, if it does become canon or whatever, or comes out to be, you know, this actual
canon. Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead canon. Yeah. That's the universe people will
hey,
be...
It's getting a prequel and it's getting an animated sequel thing.
Oh,
it's got a universe now. It's got an Army of the Dead universe.
Oh, yeah. Dread the Army of the Dead canon universe, dear. The Zack Snyder-reverse, or whatever they're going to call it, you know.
Yeah.
But let's sort of wrap this up. We have... Now, my favourite character in this film... Apart from Dave Bautista himself, who doesn't actually make it out of the film.
Nope.
He has to be killed by his daughter because he gets bitten by the king zombie, and he has to have his daughter kill him, and it's an emotional moment. Oh, yeah. But which is completely offset by just the huge nuke in the background.
Yeah.
I was watching that, I was like, oh, look, cool, a nuke. And not the emotional moment between father and daughter. But then we have... Then we get to the end of the film, and we have the helicopter pilot character, who I thought was quite funny, quite a witty little fun, colourful character. She gets killed off as well. Again, I said the body count's quite high. And then we get to the final ending of the film, and we have the song playing, and it cuts to black, and oh, and there's mystery, and I'm finally relieved because the film is over.
I mean,
but let's see if we can't give this film a real rating.
I mean,
go on, you first.
I think the audience can at least discern that
this isn't getting
like a 10 out of 10.
No, it's not getting a the cover to 10 out of 10. God, if it does, we have to review it again.
It's a time loop, Murray. We're stuck. We're just going to keep reviewing it.
Oh no. Right, what's your real rating?
Okay, there were some okay parts of the film. Some, and they were only okay.
Yeah, the action was good.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody was acting the socks off.
The characters
were quite well written.
Yeah, and it's like I like the concept of different stuff. And hey, if there's different types of zombies, cool. Because normally you get the slow ones or the really fast ones, and that's kind of it.
Here we get a mix. They call them the Shamblers. They're the sort of classic,
yeah,
classic 1950s, 1960s zombies who are just, you know, slow. Then we get the Alphas who have the glowing blue eyes, and I never explain why they have that. I never explain why they have more abilities than the normal ones, but, you know. And then we have the Queen Zombie and the King Zombie, who apparently has a name. He's called Zeus, and he thinks that he is like... he keeps looking at this statue of Caesar, statue of Zeus or whoever, and thinks that he's this like god of the zombies. And then we have the tiger zombie, who is cool, and there's a horse zombie and stuff. And I was like, oh cool, I like the concept of zombie animals, but I wish they would have done that a bit more.
I hope he's not called Zeus.
Like, we could have got lion, like lion zombies, or like bird, like vulture zombies. That would have been cool.
Yeah,
but we just have a tiger and a horse, I guess.
I mean, it had good parts. It's still not getting high. I reckon I'll give it probably a 3 out of 10, maybe 3.5.
Also, one more thing.
Yeah.
They sacrifice that idiot at the start, and they go, and the as I said before, the blonde woman says, oh, the alphas will require a sacrifice in exchange for safe passage, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So they give them the sacrifice, and the alphas attack them anyway.
Yeah.
What's up with that? The sacrifice don't mean Jack, as far as I'm concerned. But right, my real rating isn't very high either.
Okay.
Sorry, what did you give it? I was completely enraptured in my point.
It was 3.5. It was between
right,
3
okay.
or 3.5.
I'm going to give it a 5.
That's fair, yeah.
Just middle of the road, 5. It means nothing to me, really.
Yeah.
It's a one and done. I forgot about it about 5 minutes later after I saw it. It's just a 5. Nothing better. It's a resentful 5, right?
Yeah.
It's not good enough to get a lower rating, if you know what I mean.
That's fair enough.
It's not good enough to earn my disdain and get a lower rating, so it's going to get a 5. It's a resentful 5.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, the other thing that bugged me with this film, right, is if you look up, like, the poster and stuff for the film, it's all, like, nice and bright and, like...
colourful.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got the skull with diamonds in his eyes, and it's pink and yellow and blue and orange and wow. And then, like, you watch the film and it's all murky and green and grey. It's like, that's not what I expected.
Pink and yellow and green and blue and wow.
I was like, we're just going to get an action-packed, like, or not like Fast and the Furious, but like, there's an action-packed silly thing that just, you know, a couple of hours maybe. Just random stuff.
You can expect this from, like, Edgar Wright or, yeah, like, someone, who's another guy I'm thinking of, who does films like this. I don't know, his name escapes me. But, yeah, you expect something like this from, like, a fun director, like a Taika Waititi, perhaps.
I expected, something. Have you played the game Dead Rising?
Yes.
Yeah, that. I want someone making, like, a chainsaw thing out of paddles and chainsaws.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's a bit of fun. For 2 hours, some a group of people killing zombies in a casino. Not this, like, attempt to be emotional and weird time loop theories. And no, I just wanted fun, man. Let me sit back for 2 hours.
That's a good point. You look at the poster, look at even the marketing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, there are fun colours and there's loads of, you know, wacky characters. And, oh, hey, we're going to a zombie casino. Bang, 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 kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, it gets, oh, you've got to kill me. I'm going to turn into one of the... It's all grey and brown and black, and it's just uninteresting. The funniest part of the film is just sort of the creative sort of zombie design, creative zombie kills in the casinos, stuff like that. But the rest of the film, it drags, and it's drab and grey, and it's just uninterests you. It drags. It really does. But let's put me out of my misery, Corey, and pull me out of my misery, and give us a weekly rec.
Yeah, so I've mentioned this film before. I think I mentioned it in our, streaming services episode. I forgot the word streaming services. And it stars Batista, which you can already see where it's going if I mention streaming services and Batista.
Yeah, he loves them.
There's only one way it's going. Are you hooked on the feeling, Murray?
Oh, I certainly am. I'm believing.
You high on believing?
Yeah, I'm high on believing.
I'm of course talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Ah, okay. Well, now, well, give us a little rundown.
Yeah. So a couple of reasons. One, it's actually a good film. Two, stars Batista.
Yes, Drax the Destroyer.
Three, if you're going to watch the other Guardians of the Galaxy film and the new one coming out at some point, obviously start with the first one.
Yes.
Because there's a third one coming out next year, I think. One of the two. It's either 22 or 23, I can't remember. Because now he was doing Justice League, and now he's not Justice League, he was doing Suicide Squad, and now he's doing this, and now we're pushing it back 2 years. But it's a good film. It's fun. Essentially, it's not what this film should have been, but it's kind of what I expected. It's just fun. It's a group of people doing stuff in a comedic way for a couple of hours. It doesn't take itself seriously, essentially.
No, not as
got a great soundtrack as well. It's fantastic. I love it. And it's like Batista in this is in Guardians of the Galaxy is probably his best. It's his best role he's had, is Drax.
Yeah.
And it's which I think apparently according to Batista is essentially after like Guardians 3, I think he's not playing him anymore or something.
Oh well, you got to give him what he wants, you know. I was waiting to use that one, Corey.
Course you were.
You got to give me what I want. You got to give him what he wants. So. There's actually a connection. Do you know there's a connection between Guardians of the Galaxy and this film that isn't Batista?
Oh, really?
Yes, James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, had written Zack Snyder's previous zombie film, Dawn of the Dead, in 2004, but he actually passed on writing this because he was focusing on the Suicide Squad, which would have starred Dave Batista.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I like how he's passed on it to write Suicide Squad when this film is essentially also Suicide Squad.
Yeah, is Zack Snyder's Suicide Squad?
Yeah, Zack Snyder's gone, damn it, I can't get him in. You know what, I'm just going to write my own instead.
Yeah, the zombies. And it is strangely similar to David Ayer's Suicide Squad. In the fact there's sort of the zombie force and the ensemble team and wacky characters and fighting and sort of the forced emotion. It is very... I'm looking for one of those videos where, I don't know who does them, but it's someone who goes like, oh, these films are the same film and here's why. And there's loads of points, but I'm looking for that sort of comparison. So that should be interesting. So that is your weekly rec. What are you going to give it for a real rating?
I'm going to give it a 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10, yeah. Good film. It's good. Got Chris Pratt, Star-Lord, Zoe Saldana, Rocket Raccoon and Groot.
Good old great. Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, yeah. Ronan the Accuser, Lee Pace in it, who's... sort of returned in Marvel. I think he came back in Captain Marvel or something like that.
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah. It's nice. I think it was the first sort of cosmic... I know Marvel is like... There's like Marvel on Earth. There's like cosmic Marvel. It's like all the space stuff, right?
Yeah.
I think Guardians of the Galaxy was the first cosmic thing they'd done. Well, no, Thor was sort of cosmic.
Yeah. Yeah, but Thor... Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just good. It's good fun. It's good fun. Go watch that. Don't watch this. Go watch that.
Exactly. Yeah, don't watch. That's the best review we can give Army of the Dead. Yeah. Watch Guardians of the Galaxy instead.
Yeah.
You know, don't watch Army of the Dead. Watch Guardians of the Galaxy. I bet you'll have a more fun time. Dave Bautista's in it. It's like you'll get a much different experience.
Yeah, exactly.
A better experience. So that is our review for Army of the Dead, and we are going to leave off with a bit of Creedence Clearwater Revival. We're fans of them on this show. We've played. Fortunate Son, a good band. And we're finishing off with Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater Revival from 1969. So it's goodbye from me, goodbye, and a goodbye from Corey.
Goodbye.